This New Year's Eve, get ready for the ultimate crossover celebration. The Liberty Church Global invites you to join us at one of our three events in either London at the O2 Intercontinental, the Grand Hotel in Birmingham, or at the Landmark Centre, Lagos, Nigeria. Join Dr. Shola Fola Alade and an incredible lineup of guest artists, including Sumi Sola Agbebi, Dare Justified, Prince Emmanuel, and many more. London, Birmingham, or Lagos, you're covered. Start your 2026 with a bang. Doors open at 8 p.m. in the UK and 10 p.m. in Lagos. Head to tlccrossover.com/radio now to grab your free tickets. Three cities, one unforgettable night. Register for your free tickets. tlccrossover.com/radio now.
It's okay that you haven't got a smile all of Christmas.
My husband died last year, so this is the first time that me and all our kids are together for Christmas Day.
We feel like it's our responsibility to make sure everyone is happy, and then we could be sat in the kitchen stirring the gravy with tears down our face.
The celebrating Jesus bit, that's easy. There's no pressure there. It's all the other stuff that's got caught up in it.
In the generation we're in now, especially with social media, what brings us joy has got to be higher. The bar's higher.
How do you do Christmas when life's tough? Like, what does it look like?
The Woman Alive podcast, in association with Mercy Ships. Available now on premier.plus.
Welcome back to a special episode of the Woman Alive podcast with me, Toledot Fisher. And it's Christmas! And while this season brings much joy to both believers and non-believers, many of us will be navigating mixed emotions at this time of year. A recent YouGov poll on Christmas revealed that only 59% of Brits feel happy over the festive period. Christmas can come with a lot of shoulds and unrealistic expectations of happiness and connectedness. So along with the festive cheer comes memories of loved ones who are no longer with us, navigating complex family dynamics, loneliness, busyness, and pressure to make the day perfect. So how can we celebrate Christ while being considerate of those mixed feelings? And joining me to discuss this, I have Rhiannon Golding. Rhiannon, friend of the podcast, you and your husband Pete serve together in a small church in Preston and have a blended family of six children. You're also director of the charity Activate Your Life, which inspires women to share God's love in authentic ways. Your article for Woman Alive is the inspiration for the discussion we are having today. And Rebecca Legg. Rebecca, have you been on the podcast before?
I haven't. No, I'm all new.
Okay, so fresh to the podcast, Rebecca Legg, you are CEO of Restored, a Christian organisation with a mission to speak up about violence against women and equip the church to stand up against domestic abuse and with survivors. You and your late husband, Steve, have a blended family, including five girls, and we love you guys for providing future readers for Woman Alive. Welcome, Rhiannon, and welcome, Becca.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Lovely to be with you.
Becca and Rhiannon, we know that you are friends. You know each other. So we expect to have a lot of banter on this episode of the podcast about Christmas. No pressure. A bit of pressure before we start. There's a small... Well, it's actually an extended Bible quiz. There are three questions in this Bible quiz, but with multiple choice answers.
Oh, so okay.
In theory, should be a bit easier. I'm going to read all three questions. And then should I do one by one? Yeah.
Yes,
I'll do one by one. I'll ask the first question, then I'll read the answers. Then I'll go to you both for your answers. Then I'll tell you which one's correct. And then we'll do that with all three of them. And Rhiannon has already mentioned that she wants Becca to go first because Becca is a graduate of theology. So no pressure there.
No pressure at all. Becca also doesn't really have a brain that remembers things, but that, you know.
Okay, question one. In which town was Jesus born? A, Bethlehem. B, Nazareth. Or C, Jerusalem. I feel like I'm on a game show. So in which town was Jesus born? Was it A, Bethlehem, B, Nazareth, or C, Jerusalem? Becca.
Do you know, I did go into free-fall panic at that moment. I was like, ah! But I'm going to go Bethlehem.
Okay. And Rhiannon.
Oh, 100% whatever Becca says.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
No, we're not doing...
No, definitely Bethlehem. I've done the carols. It's Bethlehem.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem.
You've got it.
Oh,
you've
yeah.
Got it.
Good one. Okay. So, correct. Both of you are correct. The answer is Bethlehem. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Question two, which Roman emperor issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world just before Jesus was born? Was it A, Julius Caesar, B, Caesar Augustus, or C, Tiberius Caesar? So
I'm going to go with A. Oh. I'm going to go with A.
Okay. So Rhiannon's saying A, Julius Caesar, and Becca?
Oh, see, when you asked the question, I went, it's Caesar. And then you gave me three Caesars. That feels cheating. I might go Caesar Augustus.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Because I actually don't know.
The Roman emperor who issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world just before Jesus was born is Caesar Augustus, or was Caesar
Augustus.
Oh,
yes.
And that's in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you I should go second, Becca. I should go second and trust
you. You went first. No, I didn't even ask you, Rhiannon. You just volunteered your answer straight away.
I know, but I thought I was definitely right.
Eager beaver. Okay, final question. Which country did Joseph, Mary, and Jesus flee to escape the threat of King Herod? Was it A, Rome, B, Judea, or C, Egypt? Which country did Mary, Joseph, and Jesus flee to escape the threat of King Herod? So A, Rome, B, Judea, or C, Egypt?
I'll go first. It's Egypt.
I think it's Egypt, but I'm really glad you went first, just in case.
Why do you think it's Egypt, Rhiannon?
Because that's not where the... there was a bit in the Bible that says, tell them to go back to Egypt for safety and not to go home the same way. Am I right?
I'm very impressed because in Matthew, yes, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and mother and escape to Egypt. The thing is, if you didn't know... The trick is to listen to the question because it says, which country did they flee to?
I gave you one country in those answers.
That's sneaky. That's sneaky.
I'd like to use the word clever. I think it's clever.
That's very, very clever.
Well done. You guys can both stay and stick around for the rest of the conversation because we know that you're Christians. So well done.
Thank you.
All right. So the article we're discussing today, or that is the basis for the discussion we're having today, was one that Rhiannon wrote as part of her regular articles on parenting for Woman Alive print magazine. And this one was for the December issue. It was called Notes on Parenting, Celebrate with Care This Christmas. I'm going to read an extract from that. If you've got a blended family, there may be too much of everything. If the children are moving back and forth between two houses with two bedrooms, two Christmas trees, two lots of gifts, it can become overwhelming. Or there may be a stark contrast between the two situations, the surroundings, or the way they're treated. A lot depends on your relationships with the other family, but it's worth keeping in mind. One thing I'm always cautious about is how we refer to ourselves. I don't look around the table and say, how lovely it is to have all the family together. I may have all my family there at that point, but the children don't have all of theirs. Thank you, Rhiannon, for writing that for us. Before I start asking questions about this, how are you both feeling about Christmas?
Oh, Becca, I'll let you go first on that one.
I don't even know yet, is the truth. I've been so busy with work because I'm doing this crazy tour that I'm currently kicking myself for agreeing to with Graham Kendrick and Patrick Regan. So I've been away all last weekend. I'm working Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend. And I don't know when I'm going to do all the things. And I haven't really had time to process my brain to even know that Christmas is coming. But technically, I'm looking forward to it. But my brain hasn't caught up with that yet.
Okay, too busy to celebrate, maybe. All right, Rhiannon, how about you?
Well, we had this conversation the other day, me and Becca on the phone, and we were saying that we're really looking forward to Boxing Day because that's going to be our pyjama, quiet, eat everything out of the fridge, no work day on our own. So we're looking forward to that. I feel a little bit strange this Christmas. I've got a few reservations. I've got my mother-in-law coming with us to stay and she has dementia. We are carers for her, but this will be like a very, very long period of time without carers and her being with us. So I think that's going to be a bit difficult. I've got my mum coming, which will be lovely, from Wales. And also this will be my daughter's last Christmas in the country because she's moving to Australia. So there's an expectation that Christmas has got to be sort of perfect,
Perfect.
right, and tick all the boxes because it might be a long time before we can do it again. So I think I'm really looking forward to it, but I do have that slight reserve or underlying feeling of I know there might be quite a few tensions that need to be managed within the Christmas period and expectations maybe.
Yeah, I get that. It's a weird one for my family because my husband, you guys know this, but people listening might not. My husband died last year. And so this is the first time that me and all our kids are together for Christmas Day because we're a blended family. And last year I went off to my mum and let her look after me. And my stepkids went to their mum. But this year everyone's here. And so there's like a little bit of trepidation, I guess, about, oh, this is the first time we're all together for Christmas. I mean, we've been together lots, but first time we're all together for Christmas without Dad. So yeah. It's always something going on, isn't there, in the
That's a
background? It's always
bit
something
tough. That's
happening.
really tough. And you both shared some individual situations that you're facing this Christmas. And yet we know that in general, it's quite a tricky time for people kind of across, whether in the church or not. It's like a climatic time of year. It's the end of the year. It's this like supposedly bringing everyone together. We've got the John Lewis advert, the M&S adverts, all the ones people look forward to. So look how amazing it's going to be with Christmas this year. Everyone's going to be giving presents and there's going to be a beautiful tree. And yet, for many people, that isn't the reality. But why do you think there is so much pressure on this particular time of year? And I mean, we could just say as Christians, it's because it's celebrating Christ's birth, but that's not what people think of initially as the main reason for celebrating. So why is it that we have this expectation on a specific time of year, do you think?
I think there's just a lot of tradition. And so, on one level, and hear this right, the celebrating Jesus bit, that's easy. There's no pressure there because that's just, I mean, it's not actually, see, Rhiannon will say something different in a minute because she works for a church. It's not easy. There's loads of hard work. But for most of us, that bit's the easy bit. It's all the other stuff that's got caught up in it that over the years, it's become a moment when families come back together. Like historically, that it would have actually been a day off for some people. They'd actually have come together, they'd have done stuff. And that's just grown and grown and grown into these massive expectations of what it should look like. Around, it's all about those adverts. You think about the Waitrose ones or even Lidl or Aldi ones, they do tables so full of food, they cost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds to buy all the food that they put out there. But there's all this expectation of everything being maxed out and everyone being happy and everything being perfect. And it's just built over time from this, what would have begun as just a very simple tradition of just coming together and sharing a meal.
Yeah, and I think as well, Becca, there's that thing as well of as some type of personality types, we feel like it's our responsibility to make sure everyone is happy. And then we could be sat in the kitchen stirring the gravy with tears down our face. But as long as everyone else is happy, that's what our aim is. And it's just personality types, it's just different characters. And if you're that personality type, the responsibility, even though it's put on ourselves and it's not a real responsibility, it's one we've taken on, is that we need to make sure that everybody who comes feels happy and included, but also has the John Lewis experience
Experience.
to the detriment of sometimes to other people or ourselves, So I think that's I think that there's it's we see those expectations around us, and then suddenly we're going, oh, well, it's my job to create this thing that I see that I feel everybody else has. And that, like you said, that high percentage you said before, Tolum, but the
59%.
59%. I literally wrote that down. I could not believe it. That's absolutely crazy.
And we'll move on a bit later to talk about loneliness and the stats for that and how people are feeling more lonely at Christmas. But just want to ask you both, because you are somehow, don't know how, I think Becca, you've got one grandchild now. Don't know how that's
I've got
possible.
two.
You've got two!
Two grandchildren.
Two grandchildren, Rhiannon, you've got children, and one of whom has grown up enough to be going to Australia. How were your Christmases now different to Christmases when you were younger and when you were the youngest people in your family?
It's a good question that because it's one of those ones I often reflect on when you said about come do the podcast. My first thought was the memories when I was a child putting the tinsel on the tree. And back in the 80s when I grew up, it was those fold-out decorations that went across all the bedrooms that were like bright and shiny, very, very environmentally non-friendly. And I remember having the Christmas music on and doing that, and it was a great experience. We didn't probably have the things that we have now, but I remember it being a really great experience with the fire on, doing the decorations. You know, there wasn't loads of presents. There was one or two things you wanted, definitely a pair of shoes for school in January, some new white socks, and they were very simple things. You know,
that's like quite practical presents. They are
very, very practical, very practical presents. It was, you know, it's things that we needed for school or activities or pens. And I remember being really excited about those presents, and I think that's sort of my resigned memory of those younger years. So, yeah, what about you, Becca?
All of those, I'd forgotten those. We love those decorations. I think on that level, I think we've got a bit classier. But the pressure to be everything has really grown. But I think for me, as you're talking, I was thinking the difference is responsibility, isn't it? Like when you're little, it's just magic and all this stuff happens around you, and you wake up and mum and dad have done all of it. And then you grow up and you become mum and dad. Like, I'm not dad, but you become the grown up, and suddenly it's yours. And I'm really aware that this year is the first time, I don't know if ever, but certainly the first time that I can remember that I'm in charge of Christmas lunch. Because when Steve was alive, like he did, that was his thing. He did Christmas lunch. And if we weren't at our house and Steve was doing it, we're at my parents, and my mum and my brother did it. Now, like, I know I can do it, but it's for me, that's quite a change. I'm like, oh, blimey, I'm chief.
Big responsibility, isn't it? It's a big, big responsibility.
I've been told everything else, but not lunch.
You've mentioned that you've been super busy, and as we're recording, Christmas is next week.
Don't dwell on it, it'll frighten me.
No, I don't want to, but you have mentioned that your husband Steve passed away last year, Becca, and knowing you guys personally, you're such a family-orientated people. I actually met Rhiannon at one of the events, that one of the weekends away that you and Steve organised, because you just bring people together, the kind of the waifs and strays in your circles. You bring everyone together. And looking to this season for you and your family, if you can say honestly, like, how are you feeling about that aspect of things? Not just the practical, I've got to do this, lunch, like emotionally... Yeah. How are you feeling about it?
I'm actually looking forward to Christmas this year, and I am actually excited about doing lunch and doing it, because that's who we are. We were together. I love pulling people together. I love feeding them, and I love making things nice for them. I love doing that. And so I'm really pleased. Whereas this time last year, it was beyond me. I was desperate to try, and I really wanted to do the best, like enjoy Christmas as much as I could last year for my kids, but for myself as well, because, you know, because it isn't just about the things, it is about Jesus. I didn't want to lose that. This time last year, I also knew that there's no way I could be in charge of the joy. There was no way I could go and I could have the best day possible, but I needed other people to carry the weight. I needed other people to be, you know, so that I could, if I needed to melt down, I could melt down. Whereas this year, I am aware that it's going to be weird, and we're going to notice it, and we'll probably cry, but that's okay. I think as a family, we've learned it's like, if somebody needs to cry, just cry, and we'll move past it, and then it'll be all right again, you know. That's okay. But I'm actually, I'm looking forward to it. But probably, I think I was describing it to somebody earlier on today, I said I feel flatter than I might have done other years, so the joy isn't as big, and the excitement isn't, is probably a bit of a strong word. Do you know what I mean? But I am looking forward to it. But I know it might be a bit hard at points.
Yeah, it's finding those moments of happiness in the loss, isn't it? Yeah. You know, the loss is still going to be there, but there'll be so much joy with the grandchildren and your children there. That's something definitely worth looking forward to. It really is. Yeah.
And the pressure will be significantly on to beat Steve's roast potatoes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good luck with that.
I might send your children a text and ask them what the potatoes were like compared to Steve's, and get some honest feedback from your children. They'd be honest.
Not as crispy, not as good.
You mentioned something interesting there, Becca. I don't want to paraphrase you, but you said something like, being responsible for the joy. And I
Mm.
think that is something that we do, even as Christians, as we know that our joy comes from the Lord. We do also think, yes, but it also can come from us at Christmas,
Yeah.
which it doesn't need to. And that does add a layer of pressure for it not just to be perfect, also just fun, fun, fun. It's always a fun. And Rhiannon, you have, correct me if I'm wrong, two biological children, two stepchildren, two adopted children. I mean, they're all your children, but so I'm saying that because at different stages in your life, you've had one or more of them at Christmas.
Yes, absolutely.
So was there a time when you have had all of them at Christmas together
No,
with your husband?
never, never once. But the thing is, in our family, we talk about Christmas being the on a certain day, at a certain time, and a certain thing with a lunch at a certain time. We don't do that in our family.
Oh,
So in
what do
our
you do?
family, Christmas is when Christmas is. So
Yeah.
it could be whenever. So when we used to have the two daughters from my husband's first marriage, when we used to have them, it was always Boxing Day. But Boxing Day was our Christmas. So they would wake up on Boxing Day, they'd open their stockings on Boxing Day, and we'd do Christmas dinner on Boxing Day. So we totally changed around. So it's the same with birthdays. It's the same with any significant, even with things like really significant parts of their life or their journey. We just go, we can't all meet on this, but we'll do that. So, for instance, this Christmas, because my children are older, this Saturday, we're all going to Manchester, and my son's doing a full nice dinner for us, and we're all getting together. And that's actually the only time over Christmas we're all going to be in the same place because of work, jobs, other commitments, other families they need to go and see, different things. That's the only time we're all actually going to be together. And that's going to be on Saturday. So that will be our Christmas in a way.
I've never heard that, but it sounds like a brilliant
Yeah.
idea.
It just puts less pressure.
Less.
So if rather than going, I need to see these children on this day at this time, well, that's so much pressure for all the different families and for all the different people. But if you can just go, yeah, you know what? You can have them Christmas Day, not a problem whatsoever, but on Boxing Day we'll have them, or Christmas Eve, and we will celebrate Christmas again. Again. Did you do the same, Becca?
Yeah, because again, the step with splendid family, we would have all the children one year, but not another year. And so we would always just do it. And then even with extended family, you don't have to be a blended family. Once your kids grow up and start marrying and having in-laws, it starts getting really confusing and complicated. So this year, I have got all my kids on Christmas lunch, and then they're off to different places in the evening. But then I'm going up to my parents for another day when I'm getting me and my brother and my sister and their families and my mum and dad, and we'll do Christmas Day all over again because that works for us, and that make you know and that's lovely for my mum and dad. Works for my sister because her husband's a fireman and he's got to work on Christmas Day. So and then she's got littlies who just want and she just I just want to have a normal Christmas Day. Can we do it at mum and dad's? So we're just doing it twice. We
Yeah,
love it.
that's basically what we do. My children are all working. They work in frontline in the forces, and they work in different areas. And so there's no way you're going to get that amount of people off on a certain day. And even when Mika, my daughter, who's now gone to Australia, lived in China for 2 years because staying in Britain's just way too difficult for her. But when she was in China, we would just go, she's not here. And you took the picture, and there was one missing. And there was a loss within that. I'm not going to cry that there is a loss that she's not in the picture. But I can guarantee you, every single picture I've got for Christmas when she was away was with her on Zoom with the screen, and it'd be all our family, and then just her face there on a Zoom screen. And that was just as good because technology is so good. For 15, 20 minutes on a Zoom call or a chat or FaceTime, you have that connection, you feel together, and it's a really nice way of doing it without too much pressure on having to travel miles or spend an awful lot of money on travel.
That does make a lot of sense. Moving on a little bit, just from the conversation around the families that you types that you both have, a study by the Policy Institute at King's College London found that the overall number of people spending Christmas Day alone has more than doubled, jumping from 5% in 1969 to 11% in 2024. That does feel quite a big jump. I know that's been over a number of years. The director of the institute said Christmas is a little bit lonelier and less joyous or magical than it was 55 years ago. So, do you have any thoughts on that? Kind of being less joyous or magical, and he's connecting it with the kind of idea of being lonely at Christmas or being alone at Christmas.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's lots of things. I think it's representative of a society that in general has become more fragmented, and that there are a lot of people and families that don't talk, and people who have just got their own lives going on and just don't like. I think the whole of society has changed over time as well, over the decades. And I think it probably represents that. And where people have moved, they've moved country and they haven't got. But also, we don't do community as well. And so that's one of those things, isn't it? I remember when I was a kid, and just thinking about, how things have changed. That when I was a kid, my parents, we would have Christmas at the big, like we'd do our presents at the beginning of the day, and like our little service and all the things. And then my dad would get in the car and he'd go around and pick up all the old ladies who didn't have anywhere to go, and they joined us for the rest of the day. But that was community, and I think that people don't know how to do that anymore, and less people are in church to have that kind of community. So I think that probably reflects that a little bit.
I think that's really true, that idea of the fragmentation. I think people are living longer, and so then lots of their relatives have passed away, so that's loneliness. I think there's lots of families. I think about people I know who would definitely have someone into their house for Christmas Day and be happy to have someone join them, but they don't know. It's not a knowledge thing that people don't know that there's people out there in that situation. One thing I was thinking as well was what I feel that in the generation we're in now, especially with social media, what brings us joy has got to be higher, the bar's higher. So, like I said to you at the very beginning of this podcast, I said, I remember the fire being on, the music being on, and the unbelievably tacky decorations going up on the thing, and that brought me joy. But now it's an iPhone, the latest makeup, this thing. And so, what brings us joy? The doping levels in our brain need that little bit more to have that feeling of joy. And I think when we go back to the simpleness of Christmas, like Becca said before, all being together, the roast potatoes, even when the potatoes go wrong, it's even more joyous. Because when things go wrong, well, sorry, might not this year, but when things go wrong, sometimes that's the memories, isn't it? It's the times when it's the times when hopefully no children are listening to this podcast, but there was the times that I mixed up the stockings of the children, and it shouldn't be too gender exclusive, but my girls all got the potato guns and the snaps, and the boys got all the Barbie dolls and the hair bubbles and the makeup, and they would laugh in their heads off. And they'll still talk about it today.
Remember
But do you remember that time, Santa? I was like, it wasn't Santa. I just got them mixed up when
it.
I was, because two here and two there, and they got mixed up.
Bob
But
was fired.
those mistakes are the things that they remember. It hasn't got to be this perfectness. Sometimes when things go slightly array, it's the times when they go, do you remember that time when you lost your temper and you cancelled Christmas? Because they talk about that one with me quite often. And so it's like one of those things where it's something that happens, but it's those anchors to memories that brings joy rather than a thing. If you ask them what they got for their present 2 years ago, I don't think any of my children would know.
But do you find it easy to manage that? Because you've got children but who are grown up now, but they were young at one point. How was that easy for you to kind of not ignore their wants, but how did that work for you as parents though? Because I think lots of parents feel pressure to get the
There
things that
is
you've just
so
said.
much pressure, so much pressure, Becca. Now, I'm going to embarrass Becca right now. Am I allowed to do that, Becca? Are you ready? Becca has a spreadsheet. She's a spreadsheet queen. And we were laughing on the phone this week because I was like, how do you remember who you've got? I said, I'm pretty sure I haven't got enough presents for Eden this year. And David's got too many. I don't think Eden's got quite enough. And she goes, it's on a spreadsheet. They've all got exactly the same. They know exactly what it's from each grandparent. I was like, that is just so
Wow.
organized. It's unbelievable. Is that really embarrassing? Sorry, Becca, but I couldn't believe it. And she said, I've had this spreadsheet for years. I'm like, why have you never shared this with me? Why is our friendship not that
Wow.
important, Becca?
It's because I do get a little bit embarrassed about being a closet geek and liking a spreadsheet. But it's because I would be buying presents from us. I'd be buying presents from both the grandparents. Go, here's our budget. Here's the thing. And then my ex-husband would say, oh, if I send over some money, can you get the girls' presents? So I'd sit down and be like, I'm buying for four different groups of people, for six different children. My brain's going to explode. If I don't keep track of it, I will think. But thinking about the question and managing their expectations, we've just always been really clear, like, this is the budget. And I think probably both Rhi and I would say, when you've got six kids, You have to have quite a tight budget.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it goes
Absolutely.
berserk, and you just have to go, look, this is, and I think when you have got larger families as well, the kids are just used to it because there's like everything's tight.
And also, Beck, you've got to remember is if one of them gets a straightener, actually they all have had
Oh, they
straighteners
will, yeah.
because they'll share and use it. So if
Yeah.
one of the boys gets a something, they all go, "Oh, that's amazing! You've got a drone." Because they're thinking, in a
We're
week's
all
time,
having a
that'll
go.
be stuck under the table, and I'm going to get
Oh.
that drone, and I'm going to be outside. So I've actually got his present
Yeah.
and my present. And I think with a bigger family, you definitely do that, I think.
Yeah. But they now, the other thing that my girls do now, which I think is brilliant, is they do a secret Santa amongst themselves because they're all like, we're all broke. We're all in our 20s and nobody's got any money. So they set a budget and they do a secret Santa around themselves and they all get one decent present from somebody. But it works. And I think actually us having all the way through going, look, this is what we can afford. It might not be as much as some of your friends, but this is, what's doable.
Absolutely.
It's taught them to be sensible as well and to have realistic expectations, not just, from us, but from each other, for themselves and what they do. It's helped them to have boundaries around it, which I think is really, I'm very boring. I love
Sensible.
talking about
Yeah.
boundaries.
No,
That's for another
that
podcast.
very
Yeah.
true.
That's really sensible. And I think there's some good ideas there of Secret Santa with friends, because I think that's something we do in the workplace, but we don't often do it within our families because you think, oh, we should get special gifts
Yeah.
from our families. That's a bit different.
But
Just
sometimes
before.
that means you can get special gifts because I've got a friend who, again, has got lots of children. She's got five children. We've all got too many children. But she's got five, but they do it across their whole family. So everyone goes, right. And they're all adults. There's grandchildren involved. They're like, this is silly. It's silly. It gets silly. Let's all. And they have quite a big budget, I think. Because if they're like, well, if I've only got to get one of you, I could probably afford 80 quid. Like, so
That's a
that's
good
doable.
point. I have to say, I've got to absolutely rock your world, Ryan. Are you ready for this? There is now an app called Secret. Well, I think it's called something like Secret Santa or something similar to that. And you put what you'd like in it in this app, and then it just and who else there is in it, and then it swaps them all for you, and then you get an email saying this is the one you got the Secret Santa with, and this is some things they'd quite like. So
Yeah,
what
that
we
would
do in
be
our family, we say you can put on a list six things which are around the 20-30 pound mark, and you'll be getting some of those. So we
interesting.
don't
We are
don't be
not sponsored
surprised.
by that app, but that
No,
sounds like
I
a
don't. I'm not
great
100% sure what the
app.
app's called, so I feel like I should like, but it's something very similar to that.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah,
I
there's
love
lots of
that.
things out there like that.
There's brilliant
Yeah.
ideas out there to help.
Something that I've only discovered recently, I saw advertised in the ch local church near me, was something called a Blue Christmas service. The advertisement was just kind of, it's next week, and it was saying this is for people that find Christmas difficult. So I guess it was like a Christmas service, but not on Christmas Day. It was a I think it was 23rd of December. Have you heard this? And how does church, you're both church leaders in different ways. How does church fit into your Christmas?
Oh, honestly, I think this is just such a great idea. Someone in our church lost their husband this year, and they went to a carol service, and I think it was called the Blue Christmas, and it was very quiet, some carols, and there's no expectations of the smiles or the how are you doing, Happy Christmas. There wasn't that expectation. And on a different note, I thought this is I went into a pub for lunch the other day, and as you walk in, the very first thing you see was a very, very plain tree on a table, no lights. No decorations, and it just had little cards, and people could write on them things that they were sad about losing this year. Some of them were like pets, some of them were people, some of them were jobs, some of them was mental
Yeah.
health. And they put these little bauble paper onto this tree. And as I saw, I thought, oh my word, this is amazing. This is what we need to. If God's given us a full range of emotions, we've got to be able to embrace the full range of emotions and not be frightened of them and not have to hide them. And so I took a picture and I thought, next year, as soon as you walk into our church, I'm going to have a tree which has that on them. People know it's okay that you haven't got to smile all of Christmas and you haven't got to say Happy Christmas and you can just have moments of reflection within that period. I just think it's a great idea, a really good idea, doll. Really good idea. Have you heard of it, Becca?
Do you know what? I hadn't. But it sounds brilliant. And it's a little bit like, so I've been doing this tour with Patrick Regan, who, founded XLP and Kentucky Hope and a whole bunch of things, and now runs his own mental wellbeing company, and Graham Kendrick. But looking at, it's been called bitter and sweet. Like, how do you do Christmas when life's tough? Like, what does it look like? And actually, I was going to share it with you. And Patrick talks through it, but he's come up with his new rules for Christmas, but I really like them and I think they might help people.
Oh, yes, please give them those.
Here's his rules. I shall not try and be all things to all people. I shall schedule in some rest time. I'll come back to that one in a minute. I will take a day at a time and not push myself to the limits. I will accept that Christmas doesn't need to be perfect. I shall try and resist comparing my life to others on social
Oh,
media.
so good.
I will try and stay out of debt, really important. I will meditate on the Christmas story because it gets lost, doesn't it, sometimes? And each day I will light a candle and realize I'm not alone.
That's
Gosh,
sweet.
that's
Oh, yeah, I
amazing.
love that.
And Patrick,
Yes,
that's
thanks,
amazing.
Patrick. That's beautiful.
Last year, and more by luck than judgment, really, I didn't plan it, but I suddenly realized that I had busy day, nothing day, busy day, nothing day over the period of Christmas up into New Year and into the, and we have birthdays early January as well, which just, adds to the carnage. And last year I thought, I'm making that happen every year. I'm not going to let all the days run into each other because that's so exhausting. I historically have just got to January, gone back to work for a rest. And I thought, no, this year I am going to make sure that I can have a full on day, have all the kids over, all the grandchildren, do the things, be the busy day. Boxing Day's quiet. And then I can be busy the next day. And then I have a quiet day because it's just about pace, isn't it? And saying you'd give yourself a chance to rest, give yourself time to rest. It
Absolutely.
matters.
Absolutely. I think that's so important. And I love the idea when we're on the phone, we're just going, we're on a box a day, we're going to get our pajamas on and get all cozy. And we need those times to rest and to have some time together.
Yeah, I love the compassion that we're starting to have for each other around Christmas time. I think, as both of you kind of said, we're in a more individualistic society now. So this idea of family, I think, used to be like community, didn't necessarily mean your immediate blood family, but now it's gone back to blood family. And that means that there is an exclusivity around Christmas, which I think some people find quite difficult. Both of you are would be alien to that because you both completely do the opposite of that. You invite everybody in.
One of the things that is really on my heart, especially at this time of the year, is we see those John Lewis ads, not just Lewis, all the Christmas ads, and our expectation as well. Not just what we see, it's what we internalize in ourselves. And I've got a friend of mine who is single and she lives on her own and doesn't have the so-called traditional family and that sort of thing. And she said sometimes in church she can feel very lonely because all the activities are family based, talking about family. Even on Christmas morning when we say, come and bring all your toys in, well, you're sat there and you're like, it can be really lonely. And we can add loneliness to people that we don't need to do and need to respect those people. And I think keeping an eye out for people. I remember, I think it was Fiona the Castle sometimes says, it's all about walking slowly, looking at people. And being respectful to people and what you see around you. Because there's people there, like I said in the article, who can't have children. And the idea of wrapping a stocking for a child and open a present would be their highest joy. And they've got to go on a Sunday morning and watch all these other children that they are not in that position at that time. And that can be really painful. So I think we've just, as church leaders and as congregation and church people that go to church and as Christians, we just need to think, who's not represented here? Who's not in this picture? Who's on the side? Who's not included? Yes, we've done the family groups and the parties, but who can't get those things? People who in Sen who struggle with all the bright lights and all the noise and everything. And then that means it's not accessible to them. So what can we do that makes Christmas accessible to everyone, that someone's not going home after one of our services going, well, I actually feel more lonely now. What can we do? What steps can we? Sometimes it's just a hug, look in their eye, saying, I'm thinking about you. A quick coffee after 10 minutes. Those tiny things can make an absolutely huge difference to someone feeling part of rather than excluded.
And I honestly can recommend both Becca and Rhiannon, if you see them at a conference, to just give them a massive hug, because they will hug you back even if they don't know who you are, and they will make you
Great.
feel like the most special person in the world. So thank you both so much for sharing so vulnerably and opening on this as part of this conversation. Bearing in mind I want people to bump into you, where can people find you online in terms of your work? If you can just share some of your social media or your website details, I'll go to Rhiannon first and then Becca.
Well, to find me, then obviously I'm part of the Woman Alive and I'm in the magazine, so you can find me online there or in the magazine there. My main role is for a director for Activate Your Life, so you'll find us on Instagram, Facebook, and on a website as well. So you can find me on anything of those at all. So yeah, if you contact Activate Your Life in any direction, it'll be coming through to my phone and my mobile. So
And
Activate Your
what are
Life.
your handles? Activate Your Life, that's all it is, one word.
Activate Your Life and the
Perfect.
website
Amazing. How about
activateyourlife.org.uk.
you, Becca?
So I lead Restored, and so you can find Restored at restored-uk.org, and from there you can find, oh, we've got really weird social media handles because Restored is one of those words that could be a could be a
Anything.
furniture restoration company, or it's lots of things. So we've got things like Restored with a zero for an O. But again, if you just search for Restored, we will pop up. And I'm Becca Legg, and I spell my name so weirdly that there aren't very many of us. So BEKAHLEGG.
Amazing. Well, at least people can find you, and that is the most important thing.
Great expectations.
And so on to the next segment, final segment of the podcast, where I pose to you a question or read a dilemma under the heading of Great Expectations. This is a series that we run online every couple of weeks. So these questions that I'm kind of posing to you here have already been responded to by someone in the Women Alive panel. What I'm asking you now is just what you might say to a friend, colleague, someone at church, or you might actually know someone who has had that experience and be able to speak from a real life experience. The question today is, how do I not fall out with my family this Christmas? Dear woman, dear woman alive, I have a large family with lots of nieces and nephews whom I absolutely love. I'm not married and don't have a high salary job, so getting presents for everyone is often overwhelming. My siblings are quite wealthy, and this is not an issue for them. As a Christian, I want to be generous, but how can I balance that with wisdom for my finances? I don't want to be a Grinch and say I can't do presents. Any thoughts on how I can approach this? I don't want to fall out with my family over gifts. I guess an obvious answer would be something you said already with some of the ideas that you've said, but this sounds like this person has there's an expectation in the family to give lots of gifts because of the incomes of the other her siblings. So what do you think would be a good way for her to approach this season?
I think I'd want to have a conversation with the siblings, and we're getting so close to Christmas, it's a bit tight. But finding one who might listen and then have your back and put the suggestion forward. I'm the eldest of my siblings, so between us, we've got a whole, gazillion. But I've got the most children, actually. I floated it quite recently, and I said, right, I think we need a cut-off age for having to buy nieces and nephews presents, because otherwise it's getting silly. But I took the responsibility for that, because I'm really, whether I'm the mom of the most children, the most everyone else has got more nephews and nieces than me, and I've got the oldest kids. So I took the initiative in saying, you don't have to buy my kids presents anymore, like it's getting silly. But if you're the other end of that, then finding somebody who might listen is I think really important. Or just bring out a blanket. Do you know what? I'm a bit broke this year, so I'm going to buy everything something really simple. So you know I love you, but I can't splash out this year. And I think that just has to be okay. And if it's all just like a bar of chocolate for everyone, do that. But you shouldn't bankrupt yourself.
Absolutely, you'd get into debt over Christmas is absolutely ridiculous. You've got to. It's not a good idea. And one of the things that we do with having a big family, and I've got big siblings, lots of siblings as well, is we do a family gift. So a puzzle or a game for £20, and it's wrapped up with a couple of chocolate bars or something like that on top. And so it's a gift for the. So if there's six of them, or if there's eight of them, or if there's four of them, or two, they're getting that. One thing that we're doing that year. People as well, I think, really respond to having a present that's actually got some meaning. So things like going down to your local shop, printing out a picture of you and that person with a nice poem on the back and putting to a picture frame, it's no more than £4 or £6. And yet, if I got that from somebody,
Lovely.
it would be
Thoughtful.
the most amazing thing. But it's difficult when there's an expectation on you. But I think, like Becca's already said in the podcast, we don't need to follow other people's expectations of what something's happening. So we can just say, I'm going to do this year. And if they decide to do different, that is up to them. That they might want to. They might think, I have the money and I want to spoil you, and that's totally fine. But your boundary could be, I've decided I'm doing this amount of money per family dash person, and that's my boundary. And if, like Beck said, if you've got the relationship with them, you could say, this is my boundary because I want to make sure my mental health and my finances are safe going into January. And I know you love me. I know you love me so much that you wouldn't want me to be in a situation that would put me in stress or worry or financial difficulty, because you love me. And I think something like those conversations, but some families you can't have those honest conversations with. No. And you've just got to go, this is my boundary. This is what I'm deciding to do.
If that creates a bit of strife, if so people are a bit sniffy with you, don't feel the need to defend yourself, because that continues an argument, because somebody might be a bit sharp or a bit, oh, I haven't done very much this year. But if you choose to say, no, I'm sorry, I couldn't afford it this year, that will diffuse it rather than escalate it. Because if we go, well, you know, you expect too much of me and it's too much, and we can sometimes stop the argument by just sucking it in and can rant later to a friend about it. But in the moment, if you don't get defensive, if you don't need to justify everything, because you've made your decision, you're just holding on to it quietly, hopefully it will blow over quicker.
I think in the article I said as well, is doing things before Christmas, because Christmas brings the tension, it's got the emotion, it's got expectations, there's a lot at Christmas. But if you could have that conversation, like Becca said, a week or so before, which is this week, you know, if you have the conversation before, do it quick. You know, if you can do a conversation before, when there isn't the emotion, there isn't the stress, there isn't the worry and the expectation, you're taking that out of Christmas and you're putting it somewhere else. And that gives you a time then to actually everyone settle down before Christmas, knowing exactly where the boundaries are. But we have the same. We have a age 20. Everything stops at 20. You don't get birthday cards, nothing. 20.
Gone.
Must be a lot of Peter Pans in your household still clinging on to when to get presents. Thank you both so much. You've been such great guests. Rhiannon, you were already a friend of the podcast. Becca, you are now a friend of the podcast. I mean, you can come back. We'd love to have you back. And I just pray and hope you have peaceful Christmases and whatever else surrounds it. I just pray for peace for both of you. Yeah, I look forward to speaking with you and working with you again with Woman Alive in the new year.
Lovely.
Lovely.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget our special offer. Podcast listeners get 50% off Woman Alive magazine. Head now to womanalive.co.uk/podcast. Sign up now. I'll be back next week with more of the conversations you want to hear with the guests you need to hear from.
For more inspiring conversations, articles and opinions, head to womanalive.co.uk. Woman Alive. Real women, real lives, real faith.